There is a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah. It came and it saved me. It came and it healed me. And it came and washed my sins away. Hallelujah. How can I help but rejoice? How can I help but rejoice? Hallelujah. Yeah. How many are thankful for the fountain of God, for the river of God that flows? Yeah. Hallelujah. In all areas of our life. I mean, there's just something about being in the presence of God. There's something about being in that river. And I don't believe we walk in and out of His presence. Understand what I'm saying. But how many know there's something about when that river starts to stir up and it starts to be troubled and it starts to move? Hallelujah. There's healing there. There's deliverance there. Hallelujah. There's salvation there. There's change there. Hallelujah. The man who sat at the pool, the Bethesda, for 38 years, I believe it was. Jesus said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Hallelujah. How many know that seemed like kind of a silly question in a way? Will you be made whole? And his response was not yes. His response was not yes. His response was, well, every time that the water gets troubled, somebody gets there before me and gets my blessing. Somebody gets there before me and gets my healing. Hallelujah. And I go away the same way I came. Hallelujah. But how many know Jesus stepped into his life that day and said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to make a conscious decision that say, today I want to be made whole. Hallelujah. If I got to do the tuck and roll to get to the water first, I'm going to be made whole today. I carried my bed here for the last time. I plan to get up and walk out of this place. Today I'm making up my mind. I want to be made whole. Hallelujah. Because there is a river that flows. Hallelujah. There is a river of life that flows, that wherever that river flows, it brings life. Hallelujah. I mean, there was a whole lot of people there in that place. Hallelujah. That were dysfunctional, that were impotent, that were sick or maimed or not whole in a whole lot of ways. But how many know Jesus spoke to him? Hallelujah. How many know you can have your own personal encounter with Jesus Christ today? He wants to talk to you. Hallelujah. Do you want to be made whole? Hallelujah. Because he says, somebody always gets there ahead of me. Somebody gets my blessing. How come they get my blessing and I don't get a blessing? Hallelujah. Now, we know after a while, you got to figure out how this program works. And you know, I've said this before. He says, every time that water gets stirred up, every time the water is troubled, somebody gets there ahead of me. Well, it may take me a little while, but hopefully not 38 years to figure out that whoever gets there first gets healing, goes away different than they came. Hallelujah. So whoever carried me yesterday to the pool and put me wherever they put me today, go ahead and put me right on the edge. Because when the water gets to stirring, I'm going to roll if I got to. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get where I need to be made whole in my life. Hallelujah. How many know we got to get in the flow of his presence? And not just get in the flow of his presence. How many know you are a dispenser of the flow of his presence? We're not just coming in and out of a presence of God, or it's not just a hit and miss and maybe God will move or maybe God won't move. How many know his presence are always moving? God is always moving. His spirit is always flowing. I mean, sometimes we're more in tune to what it is, but how many know we got to come to the place where we're not waiting for God to pour in and wait on the lightning bolt to strike? How many know we got to come to the place where we start to release that flow that of water, that river that's already inside of us? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I prayed with some people lately. I said, you just need to release the Holy Ghost out of you. You just need to let God move up out of your temple. Go ahead and let him stir you up. Go ahead and let him move you. Go ahead and let him flow out of the inside of your innermost being. Hallelujah. I mean, Rebecca had a water pot on her shoulder. She was a dispenser. She was a dispenser of life. She was a dispenser of his presence. She was a dispenser to those around her. And because she poured out, because she was a dispenser of the glory of God, how many know blessings came to her house? She wasn't looking for blessings. She didn't go that day to the well to say, man, today's my day to get a blessing. But she went to do what God had already instructed her to do, what was already inside of her. She knew her place. But when she got to the well, there was a man there in need of a drink. She said, I'm not only going to give him a drink, I'm just going to go ahead and take care of his camels too. But little did she know that the man of God had already said, the lady that comes with the water pot and gives me to drink and gives a drink to my camels, let her be the one I choose for Isaac. Hallelujah. How many know the blessing pronounced on her later is, I hope you're mother of a thousand and millions. That's what the word says. Hallelujah. How many know the camels were coming and she didn't even know it? The camels were coming with blessings. They were coming with gold and bangles and rings and jewelry and all kinds of things. Those things are really insignificant to me. But the word says her house was blessed. Her parents, her brothers, her sisters, her house was blessed with precious things. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we don't realize what a dispenser we are of his glory? And you might be sitting here today thinking, I don't have it in me. I don't have the goods. I don't have what it takes. I'm going to tell you, just go ahead and pour out what you got. Go ahead and release what you got, because you might find out there's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. I come to tell you today, there's more in you than you know. Do not sit in this house and think I'm insignificant. I don't have that anointing. I don't have that calling. I don't have that gifting. How many know the same Holy Ghost that's in me is the same Holy Ghost that's in you? Hallelujah. There is no little Holy Ghost. There is no little spirit and big spirit. There is no big eyes and little U's. Hallelujah. And if God moves on you to pray for me, you better pray for me. Hallelujah. I want it. Amen. And I'll do the same for you, all right? Don't ever hold back the gifting of what God has in you, for you, and through you. Hallelujah. There's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. And then last Sunday, we talked about the widow of Zarephath. Hallelujah. How many know the prophet's brook dried up? The brook Cherith dried up. And the prophet, the man of God, goes to her house and he says, woman of God. He says, woman, bring me a drink. He tells him, he said, go to Zarephath, because I've already prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. I got you covered, Elijah. Go to the house of the widow of Zarephath. How many know he didn't send him to the house of Israel? He sent him to the widow of Zarephath. He said, I've already prepared you a widow woman there to sustain you. Hallelujah. And when he gets there to her house, he says, bring me a drink. Go ahead and bring me a drink. Hallelujah. And I'm sure she's thinking, man of God, you do know there's a famine in the land, right? But she never says that. She never responds to the supply or the limit of supply of water in her house. That's what I love about her. I mean, no powerful women have water even in the time of famine. Your water pot is more powerful than you know. You are a dispenser of his glory. You are a dispenser of his presence. And she doesn't say, I don't have any water. I love that. But when he says to her, and bring me a cake too, she said, now wait a minute. I got a little bit of meal and I got a little bit of oil. And I'm gathering two sticks. And me and my son, we're going to eat this and then we're going to die. Hallelujah. How many know there was more in her house than what she knew? He said, you go ahead and prepare me a cake first. You go ahead and pour out. You go ahead and give me what's in there. Because when you release what's in there, I'm about to fill you up with something more than you've ever experienced before. I'm about to give you something fresh and new and rich. Hallelujah. An endless supply. I mean, no, you thought you controlled the supply before. Because your purpose, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to die. I don't know what tomorrow brings. You thought you were in control of the supply. He said, you go ahead and you give to me. You bring me a cake first. And he said, her barrel never went empty, nor did her cruse ever run dry until God sent rain upon the earth. Hallelujah. It was a long season of time yet before God released rain from the heavens at the word of the prophet. I come to tell you this morning, there's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. There's more in you than you know. There's giftings in this house. There are anointings in this house. There's creativity in this house. There is ministry in this house. Hallelujah. But until you realize and say, I'm gonna pour out of what I got. I may not be able to do it the best, but I'm going to give it all I got. Hallelujah. How many know God can take what you give him and turn it into something incredible? The giftings and multiply. Hallelujah. And use what you relinquish to him. Hallelujah. How many know he can't use what we hold back? But he can take what we give to him and turn it into an incredible resource. Hallelujah. We are a resource. There's more in your house than you know. Hallelujah. I want to go to 2 Kings, I believe it is, this morning. Hallelujah. I told Caleb, bear with me because I got two different sermons and I'm not sure which direction I'm going. They might all end up in 2 Kings chapter 4, Caleb 1 through 7. It's written on that paper back there, one of the pages. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7 this morning. You want to turn with me? How many know we've been talking about being in the right environment? How many know how important environment is? I talked to you a couple weeks ago about I'm not by any stretch of the means of the imagination a gardener. I like gardening, and we have done gardening. But the environment around my house is not conducive to gardening. We have a lot of shale. We have a lot of lack of dirt at my house. Not much soil. It's stony ground. Amen? Hallelujah. So I do a lot of planting in pots, in flower beds, because that's the next best thing, right? And so I talked to you a couple weeks ago about going out to the market out there, the greenhouse, and they had a 50% off of their plants because they were 50% dead. Okay, so like they're 50% off because they're 50% gone. So without some divine intervention, they're going to die. And I really had to pick through some things to find some things that I felt like I could rescue. Hallelujah. And so I bought me some Gerber daisies, and I bought me some Martha Washington geraniums, I think they're called. Anybody, I think. And I put them in some pots, and I gave them some fertilizer. And I've been watering them faithfully. And they're alive. They're living. They're not just living, they're starting to bloom. Hallelujah. And so how many know sometimes we get in a situation that we may be surviving? How many know they were still alive? They were surviving, but they were limited to what they could do because the environment was not conducive for them to thrive where they were. So there had to be some intervention there where I had to take them out of an environment that was taxing them. How many know they put them in them little pots with like very little dirt? And then they just, you water them every day faithfully or you miss a day and they don't make it. How many know they needed to be transplanted into an environment that was rich and nurturing and had fertilizer and had water and then had a reserve for that water to stay? And then you understand what I'm saying? We left and went to North Carolina to visit Morgan for a couple days and help get the nursery ready and all of that kind of stuff. And I had bought one of these great big hanging pots of flowers. You know what I'm talking about. Don't even know what kind of flowers in it, but it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And I watered it really good before I left. We were going about 5 days, and when I come back, it was just almost gone. And I was like, oh, man, that thing was so pretty when I left. But you know how those pots, they don't have enough substance in them. That thing was still alive, but it really wasn't producing like it had the potential to. I knew what potential was in that plant because I had seen it. And so I reserved myself to make sure that every day I'm going to pour water into that plant. I'm going to put it in a place where it's not scorched or burned up. And I'm going to do everything I can to bring that plant back to the place that I know it has potential to be. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? I mean, we might be around folks that are looking a little bit like these plants. You might be in that place where you feel like I'm surviving, but I am not thriving in my life, and I'm done just getting by. I'm done just trying to make it. I'm done just trying to breathe today. I'm done just trying to make it through the next day. I want life. I want beauty. I want something. I know there's more in me. I know there's more in me that's coming out. I need something. How many know I had to put that pot, and that pot didn't even have the ability to fix itself, but I had the ability to rescue that plant and start to pour into it. And I watered it, and I watered it, and I went out yesterday, and I looked at it, and it's looking really good again. Hallelujah. How many know there's something rewarding when you look at it and say, we're going to make it. We're going to pull through this. I think we've come to the other side of the mountain, and I think we're going to survive. And not just survive, I think we're going to thrive. Hallelujah. How many know there's some blossoms, pink blossoms on those Martha Washington geraniums? Hallelujah. It didn't take anything mystical or magical. I didn't even speak in tongues over them or nothing. Hallelujah. I probably did pray over them. Yeah, I talked to them. Come on, girls, you can do better than this. Hallelujah. How many know every one of us in our life sometime, you need a little nurturing? Hallelujah. You might be sitting in a place where you're feeling a little dry. I just need somebody to pour into me. I just need somebody to pour. I know there's life in me. I know there's potential in me. I just need somebody to pour into me and draw out of me what's in there. Hallelujah. I come to tell you today, there's more in you than you know. There's more ability in you than you know. There's more calling in you than you know. There's more anointing in you than you know. Hallelujah. And so as I begin to nurture those things, you know, the Lord just began to speak to me, you know, just in people's lives. There are those who are surviving, but they're not thriving. But if they'll just let me pour into them, hallelujah, if they'll get in that river, Hannah, if they'll get in that river, hallelujah, it came and it healed me. It came and it saved me and it washed my sins away. Hallelujah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. Hallelujah. How many know there's rivers and streams that flow into our life? But not only that, how many know we are a river, a tributary, and a stream? Hallelujah. See, what happens is when God begins to pour into you, it just bubbles over until it starts to run out. It splashes out. I'll just challenge you this week. Go ahead and splash over on somebody. Go ahead and just splash out of your box. Go ahead and flow out of your streams. Go ahead and touch somebody. Hallelujah, this week. And cause life to come in a desert place. Hallelujah. There is a river. Hallelujah. We may struggle sometimes in our life, but how many know when that river begins to flow, it brings healing in every area of our life. We have the ability to bring healing in people's lives. People have the ability to bring healing in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. So the river is powerful. There's more in you than you know. And so when we get to 2 Kings... related, aren't we?
It's the only thing I ever grew. And so I grew this rose bush. I mean, it really is. I can't grow nothing. And this rose bush, just every summer and spring, it was just beautiful and it bloomed all summer. And I looked one day. Come on. And there was a little green sprout. I thought, oh my gosh, that sucker's coming back. It's resurrected. Started to grow. And I thought, man, I've never seen blue.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's power in the seed. Sometimes you just need a banana peel on it. Hallelujah. Environment. Environment. You know, sometimes, you know, I look at situations and I think, you got to know that you're not going to thrive here. Surely you know that where you are, you're not thriving. So sometimes you got to make a conscious decision to get into an environment that can bring forth the best in you. Amen. The greatest amount of potential. Hallelujah. The greatest amount of purpose. Yeah. The greatest amount of blooms in your life. Hallelujah. You know, we can choose to just survive, or we can choose to thrive. Yeah. That's not always an easy situation. That's not always an easy choice. But how many know it's always the right choice? Yeah. Hallelujah. It's always the right choice. And so we find in 2 Kings chapter 4, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him, unto him my two sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live, thou and thy children and the rest. Hallelujah. So we have a little oil. We have a little widow who has a little oil. And she's the wife, believed to be the wife of the prophet Obadiah. But she says to the man of God, she said, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. How many know the creditor comes to make your sons bondsmen, to enslave them? Hallelujah. A creditor can be a whole lot of things. I'm not just talking about the bill collectors. They're bad enough, right? But how many know a creditor can be anything that saps your life, your relationship, or brings demands on your house that don't need to be there? The creditor came to her house and wanted to make her sons bondsmen. How many know we're in a day and a time that there are creditors who want to make our children enslaved or in bondage to things they don't need to be in bondage to? Wants to make them enslaved to things they don't need to be enslaved to. Wants to put demands on them that should not be demanded of them. And we sit back thinking, what am I going to do? There's nothing I can do. How many? The history says she had no means or no way of ever paying this debt, because when it was borrowed at such a rate of interest that there was no way to ever pay the debt back. I mean, no, she had no hope in sight. You ever looked at a hopeless situation and said, I have no idea how to get out of this mess, and it's about to take my family captive. It's about to take my sons and my daughters as bondsmen or slaves, and I need help, man of God. I need help, man of God. And his response to her was, what do you have in your house? Now, we talked a couple weeks on make room in your father's house for the presence of God. Amen. How many know Rebecca had to make room? The widow Zarephath had to make room. But in this instance, he says to her, what's in your house already? Remember, I told you there's more in you than you know. She said, I don't have anything in the house. Oh, well, I do have a little bit of oil. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw on the resource of what's in you. Draw on the resource of what's in your house. Does anybody have anything in their house here today? Does anybody have anything inside them of any value? Does anybody have any anointing, any oil, any substance inside of you today? Hallelujah. Because the very help that you think you might need might be just be inside of you. When God came to call the man of God, Gideon, he called him and he was desiring of him and he said, I'm the least in my father's house. And if God be with us, where be all of his miracles? You ever been there? Just me and Mom? If God be with us, where be all of his miracles? I've had some of those seasons. And here was the deal. The miracles are inside of you, Gideon. I want to take you, the least in your father's house, the youngest, the run of the family, the least likely candidate. I want to take you, and I want to do the miraculous with you. I want to conquer the enemies, not by your ability, not by your large armies, and not by your Scud missiles. I'm going to do it through you with a pitcher and a trumpet and a light. Well, blessed be God. Who's on the Lord's side? I mean, he takes him all the way down and he whittles him down to doesn't even hardly have any men standing with him. And then he says, all of you who are fearful and afraid, go home. Yeah. 2/3 of the people are fearful, afraid, and go home. And Gideon's thinking, what are you doing to me, Lord? Because I want to go with them. How many know Gideon was fearful and afraid, but he didn't get the option to run? Hallelujah. How many know he had more in him than he knew? God did not need him to overcome the enemy. He just needed him to be faithful to the call. God had the battle already won. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's more in you than you know. And so he says to her, what do you have in your house? She said, I have a little bit of oil. And the creditors are coming to take my sons. Yeah. Life has demanded more of me than I am even able to give. And I'm down to a little smidge of oil left. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go find every empty vessel that you can. Go right now. Go find every empty vessel. You and your sons, go find every empty vessel you can find and bring it into the house. Don't limit yourself. Hallelujah. But go do it. And then I want you, when you get in the house, I want you to shut the door. How many know there's sometimes you got to shut the door to some things. You got to shut the door to doubt. You got to shut the door to unbelief. You got to shut the door to fear. You got to shut the door to failure. You got to shut the door to naysayers, dream crushers. You got to shut the door sometime and say, I'm not going to hear what's going on in the house. I don't care if the creditor is at the door on the other side. I got oil in the house. One of the best things you can do sometimes when people want to speak fear into your life, when they want to speak negativity into your life, when they want to bring you down, sometimes you got to shut the door and say, it's been good talking to you today, but I got to move on. I got to shut the door. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a time and a season where you need some me and God time, and everything else may have to stay on the other side of the door. The laundry got to stay on the other side of the door today. The mowing's got to stay on the other side of the door today. The finances got to stay on the other side of the door today, because today it's me in the house with some empty vessels and some oil and my sons. How many know I'd do most anything in the world for my kids? I'll stand on my head. I'll borrow from the neighbor. I'll beg for what I need to do. I'll do most anything for my kids, because I defy the creditor to come to my house and be knocking on my door and want to enslave my kids to anything other than who they've been born to be. Anybody here with me? Sometimes you got to shut the door to the creditors that says, I want your kids and I want to enslave them into bondage. You got to shut the door. So I want you to get in the house, and I want you to shut the door. And here's what I want you to do. I know you don't think you got anything in you. I know you think you're empty. I know you think you're poor. I know you think you owe a debt that you can't pay. I got good news for you today. You owed a debt you could not pay, but he paid a debt he did not owe. Hallelujah. It may look like an insurmountable debt to you, but I'm not indebted anymore to any creditor. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has rescued me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. And it'll hold you for 70 years. That same amazing grace, those same chains that were gone, will hold you for 70 years. Hallelujah. And she cried out and she said, now I want you to go ahead and start pouring out what you got in you. Hallelujah. How many know we are dispensers of his glory? Dispensers of his anointing. Dispensers of his presence. See, we got to quit saying, I'll pray for you later on, and just go ahead and lay hands on him, food lion. Go ahead and grab a hold of somebody's hand and say, I'm just going to agree with you right now. Go ahead and be a dispenser of his glory and of his grace and of his presence. You might be surprised what you can ward off, the creditors you can ward off when you just go ahead and start to dispense what's already in you. Hallelujah, because I want to tell you, it doesn't run out. His presence, his anointing in your life is rich and it does not run out. If you're sitting here today and thinking your oil is gone and your day is past, I come to tell you today, it doesn't run out. It doesn't get stale. It doesn't go away. But if you start to pour out what little bit you think you got in you, he'll begin to pour back into you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My cup is full of joy and running over. Hallelujah. And so she begins to pour out and she begins to dispense what's in her, thinking it's not of much value, not much use. Hallelujah. How many know she's still calculating? Because there was a limit to the vessels that she brought in. And they said, bring me another vessel. She poured out and poured out. I figure one son is holding the pot while she's pouring in and moving it out of the way, and the other son's bringing the next jar in. Hallelujah. How many know what a picture of the blessings of God when we teach our kids to pour out and to give and to be dispensers of his glory. Hallelujah. I thank God all the time that I learned to give, whether in tithing or whatever it is, as a very small child, because I grew up knowing the value of being a dispenser. Hallelujah. You remember me telling the story of finding change in the cushions of the couch. One day when I was very little and I had paid my tithes on my little bit of money, I don't even know where I got it because we didn't get allowance. You were allowed to live there. You were allowed to eat there. You were allowed to rest in that house. You were allowed to be a part of that house. That was the allowance I had. We didn't get allowance. If you were part of the house, you were required to act as part of the house. And you didn't get paid for chores. Am I the only one in the house this morning? Hallelujah. But somewhere, somehow, I must have got some birthday money or something. As mom and dad said, now, Lisa, you know you got to pay your tithes. Like, okay, 10 cents off a dollar ain't too bad. Because penny candy was still a penny then. So I still had 90 pieces of candy yet I could get. But I remember the lesson of giving tithes and sowing, you know, into the kingdom, and God will bless you back. So at a small child, I was foolish enough to believe that he was going to, and it was coming right away. So mom says, Lisa, put your hand down in the couch and clean all the junk that's in there after, you know, falls out of everybody's pockets and the, you know, the just the lint and the rocks and whatever it is that's down there. But my hands were little enough to do that, and I did it. And when I did, I found my good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yeah. There was change in the bottom of that couch that I could hold in two hands. And I say, yes, Lord, you are a faithful God. You bless me back 100-fold, good measure pressed down. And I have been hooked ever since. Yeah. I have been hooked ever since. I love to dispense goodness. Hallelujah. I love to give good things. How many know our Father, the scripture says our Father loves to give good gifts. And I figure figure sometimes he's just holding back because he said, if I bless her anymore, I'm just going to spoil her rotten. Because I know how much I love to give good gifts to people that I love, my family and things like that. Hallelujah. I got to hold myself back sometimes. I bought a $2 piano at a yard sale, and I was jumping up and down until Georgia could come and play that piano at my house. She walked in the house and saw in the living room. She said, "Piano." I said, "Yes, baby, and that's for you." She said, "Where's my microphone?" I said, "Well, Nana going to get you a microphone." Hallelujah. And the thing is, it had a microphone, I think, on it, and somebody broke that microphone off. It's all right because the batteries in it still worked. She turned that thing on. She could play them keys. And if you push another button, the drums start to play. She looked at me like, "All right, Nana, we got us a band." How many know I enjoyed that more than she did? I love to give good gifts. How many know our Father loves to give good gifts? Now, he does it in a measure that we're not spoiled brats. Because I got to hold my hand back sometimes and think, there's got to be something left for Christmas and birthday. Amen? Hallelujah. But I learned to be a dispenser, and I'm hooked. Hook, line, and sinker. I want to tell you, it works. Tithing works. Giving works. Alms works. And if you can't afford to give out of your pocket, give out of your time, give out of your heart, give out of your gifting, give out of your season, until God makes a way for you to give out of your wallet, and he will do that. Hallelujah. But it's to your benefit. And so she starts to pour out. She starts to pour out. She's, "All right, son, bring me another one. Go ahead, bring it in here. I like the way this is working." Hallelujah. How many know about that time you're ready to break into Holy Ghost jerk because these pots are filling up? The oil is coming. Yeah. We're not going to have to be in debt to the creditors in a minute because the anointing is breaking the yoke of the creditors that have come to my house, and I no longer am in debt to anybody, but I'm only in debt to him who is my master. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it's only because now I'm indebted to him as a love slave. Go ahead and pierce my ear because I want to stay. Yeah. I have no desire to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so all of a sudden, that oil is starting to bring healing in the house. My kids are safe. We don't have to live in bondage anymore, Jason. They don't have to be in chains and fetters because the anointing has moved into the house. The vessels are full, and they're dispensing and they're overflowing. Go ahead, son. I'm loving how this is working. Go ahead, son. Bring me another jar. He said, "Mama, we don't have no more jars. That's it. We filled every vessel we could find. We borrowed from everybody we knew. We have filled every vessel that we have carried, and there's not a vessel yet that's empty." What a testimony to say, "I have filled every vessel that has been put into my care. I did not take from it, but I dispensed into it." And what I found out is the more I poured out and the more I dispensed, the more it kept pouring in, and it kept pouring in, and I could dispense it out, and it kept pouring in. But what I love about it is not just that widow woman was blessed, but her family was blessed. Her household was blessed. And I'm guessing that her neighborhood was blessed. Hallelujah. She said, "You go out into the neighborhood. You go. Find every vessel you see that needs filled up." You know, one of the best ways to come out of your hardship, your depression, your place of struggle, your place of indebtedness is to pour into somebody else's life. Most of the time, you don't have to look very far to find somebody who probably is in more need than you are. Hallelujah. And there's something healing about pouring into somebody else. Hallelujah. And it said, when every vessel was full, the oil stayed. And every vessel was full. Hallelujah. What would happen if we came in to the house one day and we shut the door to everything else out there? Not in a closed out way, but we just shut the door, and every vessel in the house was full of oil. Yeah. an anointing. What could we do to our community and to our neighborhood and to our families and our children and to creation and the nations of the world? What could we do to the nations of the world if we would come in full and realize that we are dispensers of His glory? There's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. There's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. And God's about to pour out of what your desire. You've discounted yourself. And you've let the creditor take what you thought what did not belong to them. But I say today, no more. No more does a creditor have any business at your house. And I say to you, woman of God, as you've began to pour out, it's only the beginning of the vessels that you're going to see lined up. And as you begin to pour out, God's going to bring healing even into your sons and to your family and to your household. And you're going to see the increase of the anointing that you felt as a young girl that you thought had passed you by. But there's more in you than you know. So I stand with you today, woman of God, and say, go ahead. Just go ahead and start pouring out. You second guess and you underestimate what's in you. But this is your day to pour out. And I decree the creditors are no more. The creditors, physically, financially, and spiritually, I say they are no more in your house. Hallelujah. They are no more in your house. Hallelujah. The nations of the earth will line up with vessels and stand in line for your oil to be poured in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it'll splash you out of there. Amen. Hallelujah. This is one of many. Whether it's in foreign soil or in this soil, it's one of many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give him some praise. Hallelujah. 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 That doesn't just go for her. If you want that word, go ahead and grab a hold of it. Go ahead and receive it. Hallelujah. There's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. There's a man named Peter, and he's in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Oh, what a guy. I love that guy. Because he has been through every situation. He's got it. One day he's got it, and the next day he's done messed it up so bad he's not sure what the deal is. But how many know God comes back to him on the shore of Galilee? I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. It's on podcast. You can get it. But Jesus comes back to him and restores him at the lake and said, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter denies him. Three times the Lord says, do you love me? He says, feed my sheep. But how many know Peter catches himself in a room, in an upper room on the day of Pentecost? And while he's there, there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind that comes in. And the scripture says, and it fills all the house. I like to say it like this. It filled all the houses in the house with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we see Peter get up on the day of Pentecost and begin to preach. Men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out. I'm going to pour out. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. I'm about to pour into you, Peter, like you've never experienced. And as I pour into you, you're about to pour out and be a dispenser of my glory. Hallelujah. And a dispenser of the Holy Ghost. And so he stands up and preaches on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. How many know when the law was given, 3,000 died at the foot of Mount Sinai? But when grace was given and the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls are now added to the kingdom. I mean, I like that equation. I like that equation. And so he stands up, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. And then he's in a room and he gets a dream and he dreams about these unclean animals and clean animals. And the Lord tells him, Peter, rise and eat. And he says, not so. You know, I'm a good Jewish boy. I don't do anything that's not kosher or common or unclean. He said, Peter, I'm about to rock your world. Peter the rock, Cephas the stone. I'm about to rock your world. He said, I want you to rise and eat and no longer call anything that I have called clean, common, or unclean. How many know sometimes we need to wash our mouth out with some soap? And quit calling unclean what he's already called clean. And so he tells Peter, rise and eat. Because just because you think they don't have a shot in the dark doesn't mean God can't do miraculous things in their life. And so he tells him, he said, rise and eat. And about that time, Cornelius' men knocks on his door. And they said, you got to come tell us about this Jesus. You got to come down to our house. And Peter's like, but that's the Gentile house. And they're not going to be in favor of me hanging out. But he said, Peter, I want you to go. There's an angel. I want you to go with them. And what I love about this is Peter goes down to the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles. They want to know about this Jesus, and they want to know about the Holy Ghost. So Peter just starts talking to them and tells them, go ahead and turn to it. Let's see. Do I have a scripture for it? I don't know if I do or not. Acts, yeah. What is it? Yeah, go ahead. So he goes down to the house of Cornelius, not really because he wants to go, because God sends him to the house. How many know there's some empty vessels in the house of Cornelius? Can I say to you this morning, there's some empty vessels in the house of Cornelius today. Hallelujah. And so he gets down to the house of Cornelius, and they just begin to question him. They begin to ask him, hallelujah, what in the world is going on? Is it up there? Let's see. Acts 10:34. There we go. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Can I hear an amen in the house today? So for every one of you sitting here that thinks he likes somebody else better than you, he anointed somebody with a greater anointing than you. Peter says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted in him, with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I'm a witness of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. But him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. In other words, those that were with Peter were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Here's what I love about this. Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter has a transformation. Peter, when you're strengthened, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So Peter receives the Holy Ghost. How many know he's had the oil poured in? He's got the anointing. He's got the impartation of the Holy Ghost living inside of him. But he goes down to the house of Cornelius, and all of a sudden, he just starts to preach Jesus. And when he preached Jesus, the Holy Ghost begins to activate. And the Holy Ghost fall on the Gentiles. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter don't even know what to do about it. He said, oh, I know. He gets brought up before the council, and he says, all I know to tell you is I just preached Jesus, and the Holy Ghost fell. Isn't that profound? That if we'll just preach Jesus, the Holy Ghost will do what the Holy Ghost does best. Yeah. Hallelujah. And people's lives are changed because we are dispensers of His presence and of His anointing and of His glory. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. Peter didn't even know what was in him. I come to tell you this morning, there's more in you than you know. There's more in you than you know. Hallelujah. And I've just come to a place that I just said, no more creditors. Are you there today? No more creditors knocking on my door. Nobody else trying to enslave anybody in my house. I'm done. I'm done with that. Hallelujah. I'm ready to have the anointing break the yoke. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that talks about the anointing breaking the yoke. And really what the scripture I was reading last night on it says, what it says, not just anointing, it says the fatness will break, or the fat, the anointing oil, we say anointing oil, but it says the fat. Well, I think of, oh, Lord, when I think of that, but hallelujah. But what they said is that what the concept of the scripture was, that the anointing breaks the yoke, is because of the goodness of God that comes to our lives, we are fat with His blessings. And it's just like you just grow out of that yoke because no longer can it be contained because the blessings have overtaken you. How many know that's what breaks the yoke? Hallelujah. It's not about coming along and breaking a yoke. It's just you so grow out of that place. I'm ready to grow out of that place I was in and see God do the miraculous in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see God do the miraculous in our communities. Hallelujah. You got it in you today. You got it in you today. Hallelujah. So if you're in this house this morning, stand to your feet. If you said, this is the place where I shut the door to the creditors. This is the place where I shut the door to those who have tried to enslave my household, my family, my kids, my community, my mind. Hallelujah. I'm done with the creditors enslaving my mind. I'm done with being taxed on every area. I'm ready to be not just infilled with His presence. I'm ready to be a dispenser. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be a dispenser. Hallelujah. Because there's enough anointing oil in this house this morning that no creditor has any business here. Hallelujah. Do you got it in you today? Hallelujah. Do you have it in here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.